The Ring and the Book by Robert Browning. Book 8. Dominus Hyacinthus de Archangelis. Lord Hyacinth de Archangelis. Pauperum procurator. Procurator of the poor. Ah, my Jacinto, he's no ruddy rogue, is not Cinone. What, today we're 8? 7 and 1's 8, I hope, old curly pate. Branches me out his verb tree on the slate. Amo as avi atum are ans, up to aturus, person, tense, and mood. Quies me cum subjunctivo. I could cry. And choose Corderius with his morning crust. Look 8 years onward, and he's perched dapper and deft on stool beside this chair. Cinozzo, Cinoncello, who but he? Trying his milk teeth on some crusty case like this, Papa shall triturate full soon to smooth Papinianian pulp. It trots already through my head, though noon be now, does supper time, and what belongs to eve. Dispose, O dawn, of the day, first work, then play, the proverb bids. And then means, won't we hold our little yearly lovesome frolic feast, Cinuolo's birthnight, Cinicello's own, that makes gruff January grin perforce? For too contagious grows the mirth, the warmth, escaping from so many hearts at once. When the good wife, buxom and bonny yet, jokes the hale grandsire, such are just the sort to go off suddenly. He who hides the key of the box beneath his pillow every night. Which box may hold a parchment, someone thinks, will show a scribbled something like a name, Cinino, Cinicino, near the end, to whom I give and I bequeath my lands, estates, tenements, hereditaments, when I decease as honest grandsire ought. Wherefore, yet this one time again, perhaps, shan't my Orvieto fuddle his old nose? Then uncles, one or the other, well in the world, may drop in merely? Trudge through rain and wind, rather. The smell feasts rouse them at the hint there's cookery in a certain dwelling place. Gossips, too, each with keepsake in his poke, will pick the way, thrid lane by lantern light, and so find door, put Galagaskin off at entry of a decent domicile, cornered in snug condotti, fall for love, all to crush cup with Cinuccitolo. Well, let others climb the heights of the court, the camp. How vain are chambering and wantonness, revel and rout, and pleasures that make mad. Commend me to home joy, the family board, altar and hearth. These, with a brisk career, a source of honest profit and good fame, just so much work as keeps the brain from rust, just so much play as lets the heart expand, honoring God and serving man. I say, these are reality, and all else, fluff, nutshell, and naught. Thank Flaccus for the phrase. Suppose I had been Fisk, yet bachelor. Why, work with a will, then. Wherefore lazy now? Turn up the hourglass, whence no sand-grain slips, but should have done its duty to the saint of the day, the son and heir that's 8 years old. Let law come dimple Cinoncino's cheek, and Latin dumple Cinarello's chin, the while we spread him fine and toss him flat, this pulp that makes the pancake. Trim our mass of matter into argument the first, prime pleading in defense of our accused, which once a waft on paper wing shall soar, shall signalize before applause of Rome what study, and mayhap some mother wit, can do toward making Master Fop and Fisk, old bachelor Bottinius, bite his thumb. Now, how good God is, how falls plumb to point this murder, gives me Guido to defend, now of all days in the year, just when the boy verges on Virgil, reaches the right age for some such illustration from his sire, stimulus to himself, One might wait years and never find the chance which now finds me. The fact is, there's a blessing on the hearth, a special providence for fatherhood. Here's a man, and what's more, a noble, kills, not sneakingly, but almost with parade, wife's father and wife's mother and wife's self, that's mother's self of son and heir, like mine. And here stand I, the favored advocate, who plucked this flower of the field. No Solomon was ever clothed in glorious gold to match, and set the same in Chinoncino's cap. I defend Guido and his comrades. I. Pray God I keep me humble. Not to me. Non nobis domine, sed tibi laus. How the fop chuckled when they made him fisc. We'll beat you, my Bottinius, all for love. All for our tribute to Cinotto's day. Why, Spudigans, old Innocent himself may rub his eyes at the bustle. Ask, what's this, rolling from out the rostrum, as a gust of the Pro Milone had been prisoned there, and rattled Rome awake. Awake in Rome, how can the Pope doze on in decency? He needs must wake up also, speak his word, have his opinion, like the rest of Rome, about this huge, this hurly-burly case. He wants who can excogitate the truth, give the result in speech, plain black and white, to mumble in his mouth and make his own. A little changed, good man, a little changed. No matter, so his gratitude be moved, by when my Giacintino gets of age, mindful of who thus helped him at a pinch. Archangelus, procurator pauperum, and proved Hortensius redivivus. To earn the est, merit the minced herb that mollifies the liver's leathery slice, with here a goose foot, there a coxcomb stuck, cemented in an element of cheese. I doubt if dainties do the grandsire good. Last June he had a sort of strangling. Bah! He's his own master, and his will is made. So, liver fizz, law flit, and Latin fly, as we rub hands o'er a dish by way of grace. May I lose cause if I vent one more word more, except, with fresh-cut quill, we ink the white. P-R-O, pro, guidone, et sociis. There. Count Guido married, or in Latin do, what? Dugsit in uxorem? Commonplace. Dedus jugales iniit, subiit. Ha! He underwent the matrimonial torch? Connubio stabili sibi junxit. In stable bond of marriage bound his own? That's clear of any modern taint, and yet Virgil is little help to who writes prose. He shall attack me Terence with the dons, shall Cinocino. Mum, mind business, sir. Thus, circumstantially, evolve we facts. Ita se habet ideo serius facti. He wedded with owls for augury, nupserat heuc sinistris avibus. One of the blood Arezzo boasts her best. Dominus Guido, nobili genere ortus Pompiliae. But the virgin afterward. Curb we this ardor. Notes alone today, the speech tomorrow, and the Latin last. Such was the rule in Farinacci's time. Indeed, I hitched it into verse, and good. Unluckily, law quite absorbs a man, or else I think I too had poetized. Law is the pork substratum of the fry, goosefoot and coxcomb are Latinity. And in this case, if circumstance assist, we'll garnish law with idiom, never fear. Out of the way events, extend our scope. For instance, when Bottini brings his charge, that letter which you say Pompilia wrote, to criminate her parents and herself, and disengage her husband from the coil, that Guido Franceschini wrote, say we, because Pompilia could nor read nor write. Therefore he penciled her such letter first, then made her trace in ink the same again. Ha, my Bottini, have I thee on hip? How will he turn this and break Tully's pate? Existimandum, don't I hear the dog, quod Guido designaverit elementa dicte epistole, quae fuerint superinducto ab ea calamo, notara atramento. There's a style. Quia ipsa scribere nesciabat. Boh! Now my turn. Either insulse. I outburst. Stupidly put. Inane is the response. Inanis est responsio. Or the like. To wit, that each of all those characters, quod singula elementa epistole, had first of all been traced for her by him, fuerant per eam prius designata, and then the ink applied atop of that, et deinde superinteducto calamo, the piece, she says, became her handiwork, per eam e formata ut ipsa esserit. Inane were such response, a second time. Her husband outlined her the whole, forsooth? Vir eius lineabat epistolam? What, she confesses that she wrote the thing? Fatetur eam scriptisse? Scorn that scathes. That she might pay obedience to her lord? Ut viro obtemperaret apices? Here, repeat charge with proper varied phrase. Eo designante ipsaque calamum super inducente? By such argument, ita pariter, she seeks to show the same. Nay, by St. Joseph and what saints you please, epistolam ostendit medius fidius, no voluntary deed, but fruit of force, non voluntariae, sed coacte scriptam. That's the way to write Latin, friend my Fisk. Bottini is a beast, one barbarous. Look out for him when he attempts to say, armed with a pistol, Guido followed her. Will not I be beforehand with my Fisk, cut away phrase by phrase from underfoot? Guido Pompiliam, Guido, thus his wife, following with igneous engine, shall I have? Armis munitus ineus persequens. Arma sur furia gestans. Sulfury arms. Or might one style a pistol popping piece? Armatus breviori sclopulo? We'll let him have been armed so, though it makes somewhat against us. I had thought to own, provided with a simple travelling sword, ense solomodo virtorio instructus, but we'll grant the pistol here. Better we lost the cause than lacked the gird at the Fisk's Latin, lost the judge's laugh. It's Venturini that decides for style. Tomati rather goes upon the law. So, as to law? But with law ne'er hope to level the fellow. Don't I know his trick? How he draws up, ducks under, twists aside. He's a lean-gutted, hectic rascal, fine as pale-haired, red-eyed ferret, which pretends 'tis ermine, pure soft snow from tail to snout. He eludes law by piteous looks aloft, lets Latin glance off as he makes appeal to saint that's somewhere in the ceiling top. Do you suppose I don't conceive the beast? Plague of the ermine vermin! For it takes. It takes. And here's the fellow Fisk, you see. And judge you'll not be long in seeing next. Confound the fop. He's now at work like me. Enter his study as I seem to do. Hear him read out his writing to himself. I know he writes as if he spoke. I hear the hoarse shrill throat. See shut eyes, neck shot forth. I see him strain on tiptoe, soar and pour eloquence out, nor stay nor stint at all. perorate in the air, then quick to press with the product. What abuse of type and sheet! He'll keep clear of the cast, mind logic throw, let argument slide, and then deliver swift some bowl from quite an unguessed point of stand. Having the luck of the last word, the reply. A plaguey cast, a mortifying stroke. You face a fellow, cries, "So, there you stand!" But I, discourteous, jump clean o'er your head. You take ship carpentry for pilotage, stop rat holes while a sea sweeps through the breach. Hammer and fortify at puny points. Do, clamp and tenon, make all tight and safe. 'Tis here and here and here you ship a sea. No good of your stopped leaks and littleness. Yet what do I name little and a leak? The main defense of the murder's used to death. By this time, dry bare bones, no scrap we pick. Safer I work the new, the unforeseen, the nice bystroke, the fine and improvised point that can titillate the brain of the bench, torpid with overteaching long ago. As if Tomati, that has heard, reheard, and heard again, first this side and then that, Guido and Pietro, Pietro and Guido, din and deafen, full 3 years at each long ear. Don't want amusement for instruction now? Won't rather feel a flea run o'er his ribs than a daw settle heavily on his head? Oh, I was young, and had the trick of fence, knew subtle pass and push with careless right, my left arm ever quiet behind back, with dagger ready, not both hands to blade. Puff and blow, put the strength out, blunderbore. There's my subordinate, young Spretti, now. Pedant and prig, he'll pant away at proof. That's his way. Now for mine. To rub some life into one's choppy fingers this cold day. I trust Chinuzzo ties on tippet, guards the precious throat on which so much depends. Guido must be all goose flesh in his hole, despite the prison straw. Bad carnival for captives, no sliced fry for him, poor count. Carnival time. Another providence, the town a swarm with strangers to amuse, to edify, to give one's name and fame in charge of, till they find some future day, Cintino, come and claim it. His name, too, pledge of the pleasantness they owe Papa. Who else was it cured Rome of her great qualms, when she must needs have her own judgment? Eh, when all her topping wits had set to work, pronounced already on the case. Mere boys, twice Cinerugulo's age with half his sense, as good tell me when I cross the court, "Master Arcangeli," plucking at my gown, "we can predict, we comprehend your play, we'll help you save your client." Tra-la-la! I've traveled ground from childhood to this hour, to have the town anticipate my track? The old fox takes the plain and velvet path. The young hound's predilection, prints the dew. Don't he, to suit their pulpy pads of paw? No. Burying nose deep down in the briary bush, thus I defend Count Guido. Where are we weak? First, which is foremost an advantage, too, our murder, we call killing, is a fact confessed, defended, made a boast of. Good. To think the fisc claimed use of torture here, and got thereby avowal plump and plain. That gives me just the chance I wanted. Scope not for brute force, but ingenuity, explaining matters, not denying them. One may dispute, as I am bound to do, and shall, validity of process here. Inasmuch as a noble is exempt from torture which plebeians undergo in such a case. For law is lenient, lax, remits the torture to a nobleman, unless suspicion be of twice the strength attaches to a man born vulgarly. We don't card silk with comb that dresses wool. Moreover, 'twas severity undue in this case, even had the lord been lout. What utters on this head our oracle, are Farinacci, my Gamaliel, erst in those immortal questions. This I quote. Of all the tools at law's disposal, sure, that name Vigiliarum is the best. That is, the worst, to whoso needs must bear, lasting as it may do from some 7 hours to 10. Beyond 10 we've no precedent. Certain have touched their 10, but, bah, they died. It does so efficaciously convince that, speaking by much observation here, out of each 100 cases, by my count, never I knew of patients beyond 4 withstand its taste, or less than 96 end by succumbing. Only martyrs 4, of obstinate silence, guilty or no, against 96 full confessors, innocent or otherwise. So shrewd a tool have we. No marvel either in unwary hands. Death on the spot is no rare consequence. As indeed all but happened in this case, to one of ourselves, our young tough peasant friend, the accomplice named Baldeschi. They were rough. Dosed him with torture as you drench a horse, not modify your treatment to a man. So, 2 successive days he fainted dead, and only on the 3rd assay gave up, confessed like flesh and blood. We could reclaim, blockhead Bottini giving cause enough. But no, we'll take it as spontaneously confessed. We'll have the murder beyond doubt. Ah, fortunate, the poet's word reversed, inasmuch as we know our happiness. Had the antagonist left dubiety, here were we proving murder a mere myth, and Guido innocent, ignorant, absent, eh? Absent. He was, why, where should Christian be? Engaged in visiting his proper church, the duty of us all at Christmas time. When Caponsacchi, the seducer, stung to madness by his relegation, cast about him and contrived a remedy in murder, since opprobrium broke afresh, by birth of the babe, on him the imputed sire, he it was quietly sought to smother up his shame and theirs together, killed the 3, and fled. Go seek him where you please to search. Just at the time when Guido, touched by grace, devotions ended, hastened to the spot, meaning to pardon his convicted wife. Neither do I condemn thee. Go in peace. And thus arrived in the nick of time to catch the charge of the killing, though, great-heartedly, he came but to forgive and bring to life. Doubt ye the force of Christmas on the soul? Is thine eye evil because mine is good? So, doubtless, had I needed argue here, but for the full confession round and sound. Thus might you wrong some kingly alchemist, whose concern should not be with showing brass transmuted into gold, but triumphing, rather, about his gold changed out of brass, not vulgarly, to the mere sight and touch, but in the idea, the spiritual display, the apparition buoyed by winged words hovering above its birthplace in the brain. Thus would you wrong this excellent personage, forced by the gross need to gird apron round, plant forge, light fire, ply bellows, in a word, demonstrate, when a faulty pipkin's crack may disconcert you his presumptive truth. Here were I, hanging to the testimony of one of these poor rustics, 4, ye gods, whom the first taste of friend the fiscal's cord may drive into undoing my whole speech. Undoing on his birthday, what is worse, my son and heir. I wonder all the same, not so much at those peasants' lack of heart, but Guido Franceschini, nobleman, bear pain no better. Everybody knows it used once, when my father was a boy, to form a proper, nay, important point, in the education of our well-born youth, that they took torture handsomely, at need, without confessing in this clownish guise. Each noble had his rack for private use, and would, for the diversion of a guest, bid it be set up in the yard of arms, and take thereon his hour of exercise. Command the varletry stretch, strain their best, while friends looked on, admired my lord could smile, mid tugging which had caused an ox to roar. Men are no longer men, and advocates no longer Farinacci, let us add, if I one more time fly from point proposed. End of part 1 of book 8.